The 15th meeting of the 11th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is called to order. Distinguished members of the forum, this afternoon we shall take up the last item on the agenda, item 11, adoption of the report of the Permanent Forum on its 11th session. I shall first ask the rapporteur, Ms. Megan Davies, to introduce the draft decisions and recommendations before the forum and to inform the members of the forum of any changes made to the draft proposals. Then we shall take action on these draft decisions and draft recommendations. If I hear no objection, the forum shall proceed accordingly. And I'll give the floor to the rapporteur to introduce the draft proposals. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The rapporteur and the secretariat recognise that there may be minor typographical and editing changes, such as the need for capitalisation. I only intend to read out those paragraphs that have concrete, substantive changes. To begin with, document E/C.19/2012/L.2. These are the recommendations of the Permanent Forum on the Doctrine of Discovery. To begin with, an additional sentence at the end of paragraph one reads, "The Permanent Forum calls on states to repudiate such doctrines as the basis for denying Indigenous peoples human rights." And the second alteration paragraph is the addition of paragraph 13, which follows paragraph 12, under the report on the impacts of land use change and climate change on Indigenous reindeer herders' land management. Do you want me to, though? I'll do it in the next one. The new paragraph 13 will read, "The Permanent Forum applauds the good work of the Nomadic Herders Project on enhancing the resilience of pastoral ecosystems and livelihoods led by UNEP/GRID Arendal and the Association of World Reindeer Herders. The Permanent Forum recommends that the Global Environment Facility Council approve the project as a good example of a transboundary project by and for Indigenous people." That's the end of document L2. Document E/C.19/2012/L/L.3. This is the report of the International Expert Group meeting on combating violence against Indigenous women and girls. There is no change to this document. Document E/C.19/2012/L.4. The recommendations of the Permanent Forum on the World Intellectual Property Organization. There is no change to this document. document E/C.19/2012/L.5, the draft recommendations of the Permanent Forum for the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples. Paragraph 1, there is no change. Paragraph 2, there is no change. Paragraph 3, there is no change. Paragraph 4, there is no change. Paragraph 5, there is no change. Paragraph 6, there is no change. Paragraph 7, there is no change. Paragraph 8, there is no change. Paragraph 9, there is no change. Paragraph 10, there is no change. There is a deletion of the heading Indigenous Regional Preparatory Conferences. Paragraph 11, there is no change. Then there is the deletion of the heading Joint Regional and or Thematic Preparatory Conferences. Paragraph 12, there is no change. There is the deletion of the heading Preparatory Conferences.
So should I just read that out?
So now paragraph 14 has moved above and paragraph 15 has been moved below, so that paragraph 14 now reads, "The Permanent Forum recognises that it has a central role in providing input on the preparatory processes of the World Conference and in the outcome document, and in this regard, the Forum decides to hold discussions on the World Conference within the framework of its 12th and 13th sessions and will continue to review its program of work accordingly."
Do I pull up paragraph 13? The old paragraph.
The old paragraph 13, there is no changes. Paragraph 16, there are no changes. Paragraph 17, there are no changes. Paragraph 18, there are no changes. And the old paragraph 15 now reads, "The Permanent Forum recommends that the President of the 69th session of the General Assembly convene a two-day interactive thematic event immediately before the World Conference, with the participation of member states and representatives of Indigenous peoples, as well as the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous peoples, and the special rapporteur on the rights of Indigenous peoples, to allocate more time for an interactive dialogue and to build commitment from member states, the United Nations system, and other stakeholders, and the United Nations Permanent Forum prior to the World Conference." Paragraph 19 now reads, "The President of the 69th session of the General Assembly, in consultation with member states and representatives of Indigenous peoples, should appoint co-chairs from among member states and Indigenous peoples to preside over the meeting of the World Conference." Paragraph 20 now reads, "The Permanent Forum recommends that United Nations organisations, funds and programmes in particular the United Nations Development Programme, prepare a special report for the conference on the realisation of the rights of Indigenous peoples, the objectives of the second international decade of the world's Indigenous peoples, the Millennium Development Goals, and the United Nations Development Agenda beyond 2015. Further, that this report contain disaggregated statistics in relation to Indigenous women, youth and children, as well as address associated thematic issues such as economic sustainability and youth employment. Paragraph 21 now reads, the Permanent Forum recommends that United Nations funds and programs and specialised agencies actively engage in the process leading up to the World Conference by prioritising the development of concrete ways as to how they can support the full and effective participation of Indigenous peoples in the World Conference, including technical and financial support. And paragraph 22, there is no change. Now I will read document E/C.19/2012/L.6, which is the recommendations of the Permanent Forum on the future work of the Forum. I will only read out substantive and concrete changes to the document. Paragraph 1. The Permanent Forum wishes to express its thanks to the Governor of Nicaragua for hosting its 2012 pre-sessional meeting. The Forum also thanks the governments of Bolivia, China, Denmark, Greenland, Norway, and Spain for having hosted the Forum's previous pre-sessional meetings, and the government of the Congo for offering to host the 2013 pre-sessional meeting. The Forum requests that the Secretariat organise pre-sessional meetings for future sessions of the Forum and urges all member states that have not considered hosting pre-sessional meetings of the Forum to do so. I'll just clarify the changes to paragraph one. The Permanent Forum wishes to express its thanks to the Governor of Nicaragua for hosting its 2012 pre-sessional meeting. The Forum also thanks the governments of Bolivia, China, Denmark, Greenland, Norway, Spain, Canada, and the USA for having hosted the Forum's previous pre-sessional meetings. Paragraph 2, the Permanent Forum recommends that a meeting additional to the pre-sessional meeting be organised in the fourth quarter of 2012 and 2013 without any budgetary implications to discuss methods of work. Paragraph 3, there is no change. Paragraph 4, there is no change. Paragraph 5, there is no change. Paragraph 6, there is no change. Paragraph 7, there is the deletion of the final sentence. The Forum appoints Ms. Pamene Haste, member of the Forum, as the focal point for coordination with WHO, the World Health Organization, on this matter. delete. Paragraph 8, there is no change. Paragraph 9, the permanent forum appoints Ms. BOD to review World Bank operational policies and analyse mechanisms for participation on Indigenous people, on Indigenous peoples, and to determine to what extent those policies respect the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, with her findings to be submitted to the forum at its 12th session. Paragraph 10, there is no change. Paragraph 11, there is no change. Paragraph 12, there is no change. Paragraph 13 now reads, the permanent forum appoints Ms. Megan Davis, member of the forum, to undertake a study on the impact of the mining boom upon Indigenous communities in Australia, to be submitted to the forum at its 12th session. The permanent forum appoints Saul Vicente Vaquez to coordinate with the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous peoples and the special rapporteur on the rights of Indigenous peoples with the purpose of preparing a constituted report on extractive industries and their impact on Indigenous peoples. Paragraph 14 now reads, the permanent forum appoints Ms. Anna Nakenchina, Ms. Daly Sambo-Duro, members of the forum, to undertake a study on resilience, traditional knowledge, and capacity building in Arctic and subarctic Indigenous reindeer herding. Further, that Mr. Kanyinki Sena, a member of the forum, undertake a study on resilience, traditional knowledge, and capacity building for pastoralist communities in Africa. Both studies are to have a focus on good practices and opportunities to be submitted to the forum at its 12th session. Paragraph 15 now reads, the permanent forum appoints Ms. Sambo-Duro and Ms. Davis to undertake a study on an optional protocol to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Such a study will focus on the potential of voluntary mechanisms to serve as a complaint body at the international level, and in particular, claims and breaches of Indigenous peoples' rights to lands, territories, and resources at the domestic level. Paragraph 16 now reads, the permanent forum appoints Ms. Valmaine Toki, member of the forum, to undertake a study on decolonisation of the Pacific region, to be submitted to the forum at its 12th session. Paragraph 17, no change. Paragraph 18, there is no change. Paragraph 19, there is no change. Paragraph 20, there is no change. Paragraph 21, there is no change. Paragraph 22, there is no change. Paragraph 23 now reads, the permanent forum calls upon member states to ensure that the outcome document of the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, Rio+20, is aligned with the rights affirmed in the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and invites UNEP to organise a dialogue to discuss the Rio+20 outcome, its implications for Indigenous peoples, and its implementation. Paragraph 24, there is no change. Paragraph 25, there is no change. Paragraph 26 now reads, "The Permanent Forum welcomes the cooperation with the World Heritage Committee to include Permanent Forum members and the International Union for the Conservation of Nature and the International Council on Monuments and Sites in the committee's advisory bodies to work in close cooperation with the forum as well as Indigenous peoples in the nomination and review of World Heritage Sites." Paragraph 27, there is no change. There is an addition of a new paragraph following paragraph 28. The new paragraph will read, "The forum welcomes the progress made in the operationalisation of UNIP, a joint venture of the UN agencies, OHCHR, UNDP, ILO, UNICEF, and UNFPA at the regional and country levels in partnership with Indigenous peoples, and reiterates its support to its work, firmly believing that it is critical to the implementation of UNDRP at the country level. The forum also welcomes the contributions of the governments of Denmark and Finland to UNIP and calls upon UN member states and others to support the work of UNIP." A new paragraph to be added reads as follows. "The forum expresses concern over the continuation of conflicts in different parts of the world involving Indigenous peoples, including in areas where treaties, agreements, and other constructive arrangements have been entered into, and urges dialogue and consensus building as a means to resolve such conflicts, guided by the principles of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. The forum also urges the United Nations system, including the UN country teams, to actively support and promote such processes of dialogue and consensus building." A new paragraph to be added reads as follows. "The Permanent Forum will, during its sessions, invite the heads of United Nations agencies and programs to a meeting to discuss the coherence and implementation of the recommendations of the forum and to learn about the future plans of UN organisations and how the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples is reflected in their work." That is the end of document L6. Now I will read document E/C.19/2012/L.9, the recommendations of the Permanent Forum on Human Rights. Paragraph 1 now reads, "Since the adoption in 2007 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, few states have entered into effective dialogue or partnerships with Indigenous peoples or have undertaken adequate legal reforms to implement the Declaration. On the basis of 11th session interventions and reports from Indigenous peoples' representatives from all regions of the world, the Permanent Forum is alarmed about the ongoing gross human rights violations being perpetrated against Indigenous peoples and therefore calls upon all states to take urgent action to end such violations and to recognise and respect the human rights standards contained in the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Paragraph 2. There is an amendment to the second sentence, which now reads, it recommends public education initiatives and the sharing of best practices in respect of the declaration, in particular through training programs for government agencies, the judiciary and law enforcement officials in collaboration with Indigenous peoples. Paragraph 3, there is no change. Paragraph 4, there is no change. Paragraph 5 now reads, the permanent forum reiterates the need for states to address the impact of militarization, including suppressing constitutional guarantees, appropriation of land, forcible occupation and displacement on the land, territorial and other collective rights of Indigenous peoples perpetrated by security forces, including the military, militias and other armed groups. Paragraph 6 now reads, mindful of the systemic discrimination and racism experienced by Indigenous peoples in the law enforcement, judicial and correctional institutions of states across the globe, the Permanent Forum urges states that have ratified the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination to comprehensively review the civil rights of Indigenous peoples, in particular those of Indigenous women and children who are victims of sexual violence, in order to ensure that they have fair, non-discriminatory access to justice. Paragraph 7, there is no change. Paragraph 8, there is no change. Paragraph 9 now reads, the Permanent Forum urges states to promote and protect the rights of Indigenous women and men working as journalists, communicators, and as human rights defenders in accordance with international human rights law, in particular in accordance with Article 16 of the Declaration, which calls for the full freedom of expression of Indigenous peoples. Paragraph 10 now reads, the Permanent Forum urges states to prepare reports on the actions taken to address the recommendations of all United Nations Special Rapporteurs, in particular, the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, especially the recommendations made at the conclusion of country visits, and encourages states to monitor their progress in this regard in collaboration with Indigenous peoples, United Nations country teams, and all other relevant parties. Furthermore, the forum reiterates that national human rights institutions are encouraged to assist Indigenous peoples, the Special Rapporteur, and the Permanent Forum on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples in the implementation of the Declaration. Paragraph 11, there is no change. Paragraph 12 now reads, the Permanent Forum recommends that the full, effective and direct representation and participation of Indigenous peoples, including their Indigenous governments, councils, parliaments and other political institutions, should be ensured at all United Nations forums and multilateral, bilateral negotiations, as well as in the drafting processes of the corresponding emerging instruments. For example, those under discussion at the World Bank, WIPO, CBD and others. Such instruments must be harmonised with the Declaration, which is regarded as a reflection of the minimum human rights standards necessary for the promotion and protection of Indigenous peoples, nations and communities. Such instruments should be consistent with or exceed these minimum standards. There is the addition of a new paragraph. The paragraph will read as follows. The Permanent Forum encourages all member states to contribute to the UN Voluntary Fund for Indigenous Peoples as an essential way to ensure Indigenous peoples' participation in all UN fora, as well as to increase their capacity at both the international and local level. In addition, there will be a new paragraph that will read as follows. The Permanent Forum recommends that the Arctic Council adopts at its ministerial meeting in 2015 a comprehensive long-term strategy for resource extraction in the Arctic region to end present uncontrolled, unmanaged, and unsustainable industrial practices, including an ethical code of conduct, committing private entities operating in the Arctic to not engage in practices harmful to the environment and to respect human rights, particularly those of Arctic Indigenous peoples. And that is the end of the changes to document L9. Now I'll present the changes to document E/C.19/2012/L.10. These are the recommendations of the Permanent Forum on the half-day discussion on the rights of Indigenous peoples to food and food sovereignty, and the half-day discussion on Central and Eastern Europe, the Russian Federation, Central Asia, and Transcaucasia. Paragraph 1, there is an amendment, an addition to the second sentence, which now reads, subsistence activities such as hunting, fishing, traditional herding, shifting cultivation and gathering are essential not only to the right to food, but to nurturing their cultures, languages, social life and identity. Paragraph 2, there is no change. Paragraph 3, there is no change. Paragraph 4 now reads, the Permanent Forum welcomes the invitation from the Government of Mexico to include the participation of the members of the Forum at the Group of Eight Summit of June 2012. Sorry, I'll read that again. This is the changes to paragraph 4. The Permanent Forum welcomes the invitation from the Government of Mexico to include the participation of the members of the Forum at the Group of 20 G20 Summit of June 2012 and decides to appoint Saul Vicente and Daly Sambo Duro, members of the Forum, to directly participate in the G20 Summit to ensure that the views and perspectives of Indigenous peoples, consistent with the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, are incorporated into the agenda, proceedings, and outcomes of the G20 summit. Paragraph 5, there is no change. Paragraph 6, there is no change. Paragraph 7 now reads, according to Articles 25 through 36 of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, states shall uphold the right to free, prior and informed consent of Indigenous peoples and avoid, minimise and adjudicate land, territories and resources disputes arising from extractive industries, large-scale water, energy and infrastructure projects and agricultural investments. Paragraph 8, there is no change. Paragraph 9, there is no change. Paragraph 10 now reads, the Permanent Forum recommends that states formally recognise shifting cultivation as a traditional occupation for Indigenous peoples that is closely related to their social and cultural identity and integrity, and take effective measures to stop all discriminatory acts targeted at Indigenous peoples' practice of shifting cultivation in line with the provisions of International Labour Organisation Conventions number 169, number 111, number 104, and the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, including through the delineation and the titling of the territories and lands concerned. Paragraph 11, the change is to the first sentence, actually, and the second sentence, which now reads, the Permanent Forum recommends that states discontinue all sedentarisation and other programs that coerce Indigenous peoples to forsake shifting cultivation for other modes of cultivation without their free, prior and informed consent. Alternative modes of cultivation ensure food sovereignty, livelihood security, health security, educational security and forest conservation and other safeguards. Paragraph 12, there is no change. Do any of the forum members have anything to raise?
Thank you, Chair, and thanks very much to our colleague, the rapporteur, for the very hard work she is doing and has been doing. Just a very small thing. In paragraph 10, the references to the ILO conventions. So the first two are conventions. That's 169 and 111. That's all right. But the second reference to 104 should be recommendation 104. Which is related to Convention 107, but maybe Recommendation 104 is sufficient. Thank you.
Okay. So paragraph 10 will now read, with the provisions of International Labour Organization Conventions number 169, number 111, Recommendation number 104 and the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Paragraph 13, there is no change. Paragraph 14, there is no change. Paragraph 15, there is no change. Paragraph 16 is deleted. Paragraph 17, there is no change. And that concludes the amendments to document E/C.19/2012/L.10. And that concludes the amendments.
Thank you. I thank Ms. Davis for her introduction and revisions to the draft documents. Do any of the permanent forum members wish to comment on the draft report as introduced? Before taking action on the draft proposals, I shall give the floor to the Secretary of the Forum to make a statement on program budget implications of the draft decisions and recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This statement is made in accordance with Rule 28 of the Rules of Procedure of the Functional Commissions of the Economic and Social Council and relates to draft decisions and recommendations of the Forum contained in documents EC19-2012, L2, L3, L4, L5, L6, L7, L8, L9, and L10. I would note that this statement was prepared on the basis of the documents as they were issued prior to the oral revisions that were just introduced. Under the terms of operative paragraphs 7, 13, 15, 18, and 20 of document EC19-2012-L5, it is noted that A, the Permanent Forum recommends that the World Conference consist of plenary meetings, roundtables, and interactive dialogues, which will be co-chaired by representatives of member states and indigenous peoples. B, the Presidency of the General Assembly at its 67th and 68th sessions convene thematic interactive hearings with the participation of member states and representatives of indigenous peoples, as well as the expert mechanism on the rights of indigenous peoples, the special rapporteur on the rights of indigenous peoples, and the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, in order to facilitate the development of a concise and joint action-oriented outcome document. C, the Permanent Forum recommends that the Presidency of the 69th session of the General Assembly convene two-day thematic interactive hearings with the participation of member states, representatives of indigenous peoples, as well as the expert mechanism on the rights of indigenous peoples, the special rapporteur on the rights of indigenous peoples, immediately following the September session, to build commitment from member states, the UN system, and other stakeholders, and the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues prior to the World Conference. D, the Permanent Forum considers that the two-day high-level plenary meeting of the General Assembly, known as the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples, should be held in New York in September 2014, during the week leading up to the opening of the general debate, in order to encourage the highest level of participation of member states, in particular heads of state or government, and with the full participation of indigenous peoples, heads of UN agencies, funds and programs, and NGOs. And E, the Permanent Forum recommends that UN agencies, funds and programs, in particular UNDP, provide a special report on the realization of the rights of indigenous peoples, the objectives of the second international decade of the world's indigenous people, the Millennium Development Goals, and the post-2015 UN Development Agenda for the conference, and that this report contain disaggregated statistics in relation to indigenous women, youth, and children, as well as address associated thematic issues such as economic sustainability and youth employment. It should be noted that all modalities and reports mentioned in the above operative paragraphs are only recommendations, and that the final modalities and documentation requirements will be decided by the General Assembly before the end of its 66th session. Consequently, in the absence of any specific decision on the modalities for meetings and documentation of the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples to be held in 2014 and its preparatory activities, the Secretariat is unable to determine the conference servicing and documentation requirements. as soon as the final and specific decisions on format, scope, and modalities are determined, the matter will be reported to the General Assembly in accordance with Rule 153 of its Rules of Procedure. In view of the above, the attention of the Council is drawn to possible financial implications should the General Assembly decide to consider these recommendations in preparation of the final modalities document. Based on operative paragraph 7, the plenary meetings, if held one in the morning and one in the afternoon, may not constitute an addition to the workload meetings of the Department for General Assembly and Conference Management, on the condition that the General Assembly does not hold a meeting in parallel. However, the round table meetings and the interactive dialogue may constitute an addition to the meeting's workload, unless the interpretation services will be shared with the plenary meetings. The date for the World Conference will need to be determined in consultation with the Department for General Assembly and Conference Management. With respect to the preparatory conferences and meetings, as mentioned in operative paragraphs 13, 15, and 18, the thematic interactive hearings during the 67th, 68th, and 69th sessions may constitute an addition to meetings workload unless the General Assembly agrees to allow the use of the Assembly's entitlements to one meeting in the morning and one meeting in the afternoon, on the condition that the Assembly does not meet in parallel. Therefore, the dates will need to be decided in consultation with the Department for General Assembly and Conference Management, in particular with the General Assembly Affairs Branch. In connection with documentation requirements, the outcome document and the special report on the rights of the Indigenous peoples, as mentioned in operative paragraphs 13 and 20, may constitute an addition of 10,700 words each to be translated in all six languages to the documentation workload of the Department for General Assembly and Conference Management. In summary, the decisions and recommendations of the forum contained in documents E-C-19, 2012, L-2, L-3, L-4, L-5, L-6, L-7, L-8, L-9, and L-10 do not entail financial implications for the program budget for the biennium 2012-2013. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank the Secretary for her statement. We shall now take a decision on the draft decisions and recommendations contained in documents L2 to L10, taking the L documents one by one. Afterwards, the forum will proceed to take a decision on the procedural chapters of the draft report as contained in document L8. I would note that only the members of the permanent forum are part of the decision-making process. May I take it that the permanent forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012/L2, document recommendations of the forum, the doctrine of discovery, as orally revised by the rapporteur. I hear no objection. L12 is adopted as orally revised. Did I say L12?
Yes.
Okay, well, we don't have an L12, so we can adopt that one too. So we adopt L2, thank you. I'm on a finishing line. May I take it that the permanent forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012L3, report of the International Expert Group Meeting on Combating Violence Against Women, Indigenous Women, and Girls, Article 22 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. I hear no objection. L3 is adopted. They told me that's what it's for. May I take it that the permanent forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012L4, recommendations of the permanent forum, comprehensive dialogue with the World Intellectual Property Organization. I hear no objection. L4 is adopted. May I take it that the permanent forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012/L5, draft recommendations, World Conference on Indigenous Peoples, as orally revised by the rapporteur. I hear no objection. L5 is adopted as orally revised. May I take it that the permanent forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012L6, recommendations of the forum on the future work of the forum, as orally revised by the rapporteur.
No, she doesn't have anything to say. It's the members.
This is the members only here.
Let's continue.
I hear no objection. L6 is adopted.
As orally revised.
May I take it that the permanent forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012/L7, containing draft decision 1, International Expert Group meeting on the theme Indigenous Youth, Identity, Challenges, and Hope, Articles 14, 17, 21, 25 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Draft decision 2, venue and dates for the 12th session of the permanent forum. Draft decision 3, provisional agenda for the 12th session of the permanent forum. I hear no objection that draft decisions contained in document L7 are adopted. May I take it that the permanent forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012L9, recommendations of the Forum on Human Rights, as orally revised by the rapporteur. I hear no objection. L9 is adopted as orally revised. May I take it that the permanent forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012/L10, recommendations of the forum on the half-day discussion on the rights of Indigenous peoples to food and food sovereignty, and on the half-day discussion on Central and Eastern Europe, the Russian Federation, Central Asia, and Transcaucasia, as orally revised by the rapporteur. I hear no objection. L10 is adopted as orally revised. We have completed action on all of the draft proposals. Before taking action on the procedural chapters of the draft report, I give the floor to the rapporteur to introduce document E/C19/2012/L8. You have the floor, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is my pleasure to introduce the procedural chapters of the draft report of the Permanent Forum on its 11th session as contained in document EC19/2012-L8. Chapter 1, Section A, entitled Draft Decisions Recommended by the Forum for Adoption by the Council, will include the draft decisions recommended by the Permanent Forum to the Economic and Social Council for adoption as contained in document EC19/2012-L7, which the Forum has just adopted. Chapter 1, Section B, entitled Matters Brought to the Attention of the Council, will include the draft recommendations just adopted as orally revised by the Forum. This section will include the draft recommendations contained in documents EC19/2012-L2 to L6, L9 and L10. Chapters 2 to 4 concern the proceedings of the 11th session of the Forum. There will be a need to adjust some of the numbers and dates of the meetings to reflect the actual proceedings of the session. If the members of the Forum agree, I will make these technical changes with the support of the Secretariat. The list of documents for the session will be issued after the session in document EC19/2012-INF/2. I wish to recommend that the Forum adopt the procedural chapters of the draft report as introduced. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I thank the rapporteur for her statement. Do any member of the Permanent Forum wish to comment on the draft report? May I take it that the Permanent Forum wishes to adopt document E/C19/2012/L8 draft report, chapters 2, 4, and 5 of the report, with the understanding that the rapporteur will finalize it with the support of the Secretariat. I hear no objection. L8 is adopted. I'd like to provide a closing statement for the 11th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Distinguished expert members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished observers from member states, Indigenous peoples organizations, United Nations agencies, intergovernmental system, non-governmental organizations, the academia and the media, and in particular, our Indigenous brothers and sisters, Indigenous youth, and Indigenous parliamentarians. We have now come to the final part of the 11th session of the Permanent Forum, and I would like to reflect on the past very hectic 2 weeks. We started the discussions on the theme, the doctrine of discovery. Its enduring impact on Indigenous peoples and the right to redress for past conquests, Articles 28 and 37 of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. As we are aware, the doctrine of discovery was implemented over centuries, and it was used to justify the domination and imposition of colonial practices upon Indigenous peoples. The continuing and lingering effects of the doctrine of discovery has also been the basis of much of the poverty and marginalization that Indigenous people face today. Also, the doctrine has created historic injustices a negative impact on the relations between Indigenous peoples and state governments. Hence, there is a real need to redress equitable and full the many issues that have emerged over the many years of the implementation of the doctrine and colonial practices. As panelist Moana Jackson stated last week, while it was paramount to reject the doctrine and dismantle its lingering structures, there was also a pressing need for Indigenous peoples to rediscover and celebrate their own heritages and cultural traditions. The UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples does, however, refer to lands and territories that have been confiscated without Indigenous peoples' consent, which should be restored with compensation and redress. In a permanent forum's comprehensive dialogue with the World Intellectual Property Organizations, participants engage in a dialogue with WIPO, including discussions on WIPO's greater recognition of Indigenous peoples in its decision-making processes and respect for their right to safeguard, preserve, and promote their traditional knowledge and resources. The WIPO committee was also encouraged to hold intersessional meetings after each of its meetings, which would be open to a limited number of delegates with adequate representation for Indigenous peoples. We would like to express our thanks to WIPO for its background presentation and to the state and Indigenous peoples' representatives for their comments. The report on the expert group meeting, Combating Violence Against Indigenous Women and Girls, Article 22 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This important discussion highlighted the fact that it is absolutely necessary for the permanent forum to continue to provide a space for discussions between Indigenous peoples, states, and the UN agencies to discuss the situation of Indigenous women and girls. Such cooperative dialogue is vital as the current picture is not very encouraging. Indigenous women and girls are among the most vulnerable and in some cases often the only ones who are vulnerable in our communities, and many, including those with disabilities, face specific challenges, including multiple layers of discrimination and high rates of poverty. There is a real urgency to build Indigenous women's capacity towards preventing violence and discrimination. Only through their empowerment will all forms of personal violence be properly and adequately addressed. The rights of Indigenous peoples to food and food sovereignty was an extremely important area of discussion. During this half-day dialogue, we heard that Indigenous peoples' food rights were under serious threat and that Indigenous peoples were disproportionately affected by increased pressures on their land through food production, carbon credit schemes, mining, hydroelectric dams, and the search for fossil fuels. Also, Indigenous peoples' rights were being further impacted by ever-encroaching big business, destroying traditional livelihoods, including traditional food systems, at an unprecedented rate. Excuse me. Further, Indigenous peoples were coping with the phenomenon of nutrition transition imposed on Indigenous communities who lost their food systems and were forced to switch to Western diets. That led to the significant changes in nutritional intakes and was causing major increases in diabetes, heart disease, and certain types of cancer. Thank you. The half-day discussions on Central and Eastern Europe, Russian Federation, Central Asia, and Transcaucasia was led by permanent forum members Anna Nakinchina and Andrei Nikiforov. As we heard, there was quite a lot of discussion around the need for the region's governments to take firm steps to improve the social economic conditions of the Indigenous peoples, provide assistance in adapting to climate change, and to rein in corporate-driven globalization. The Deputy Minister of Regional Development of the Russian Federation stated of the Indigenous peoples in the Russian Federation, 40 Indigenous groups lived in the far north of the country where there were severe climatic conditions. We heard from representative of the Association of World Reindeer Herders that reindeer herding communities in the region continue to struggle in the face of land use change, climate change, and development, that intensive industrial development and expansion had seriously reduced the land area for reindeer pastures, which sustains indigenous people's ways of life and their livelihood. During the half-day discussion on the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples, participants called on the General Assembly presidency to promote the adoption of a resolution on the modalities for the conference before the end of the current session of the Assembly. In addition, the presidents of the next two sessions of the Assembly should conduct interactive hearings with member states with the full and effective participation of Indigenous peoples to facilitate the development of a concise and joint action-oriented document. During the session on human rights, we were fortunate enough to hear from the chair of MRIP, the chair of the Voluntary Fund for Indigenous Populations, and the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. The Special Rapporteur observed the persistent and painful legacies of the Doctrine of Discovery, which has been used for centuries to expropriate Indigenous lands and facilitate their transfer to colonizing or dominating nations, and this doctrine continues to be used by states to justify the continued ignoring of the present needs of Indigenous peoples and to disregard their rights. The high-level event to commemorate the Fifth Avenue is the street that divides the city east and west, I found out this week. The high-level event to commemorate the fifth anniversary of the adoption of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples held yesterday was a very successful event despite being bumped from the General Assembly Hall at the last minute. There were speakers who had been part of the declaration's development over 20 years and the process that led eventually to the historic adoption of the declaration by the General Assembly in September 2007. Virtually all statements highlighted the importance and the need for implementing the declaration in order to change the lives of Indigenous peoples on the ground. It is now time for each of us to go our separate ways as we head back to our communities and to our families. I would especially like to thank my co-permanent forum members who have worked very hard and long hours over the last 2 weeks, and in particular to our rapporteur, Megan Davis, for the difficult and challenging work she had in dealing with each and every one of us. Thank you to her. I would like to thank the secretary, Emery Herity, and her staff for their courtesy and their courteous, respectful, and professional help behind the scenes over the past 2 weeks. A tremendous job, and thank you to all of you and your staff. I would like to thank also the staff of the Secretariat of the Permanent Forum who have worked hard and long hours to make this session happen, and the incredible amount of work by a very small number of staff of, I understood, 9 staff members and 2 interns and 2 contractors. And goes without saying, but I have to say to the sound technicians and all those in the background, but particularly to the interpreters for the tremendous work that they've done over the course of the last 2 weeks. We've actually held them back sometimes. They make this place work, and we wish to thank them, all of you up there. Thank you very much. In closing, I would like to quote James Anaya, the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, who said the other day, Our challenge is to enter a new era, one in which the lingering effects of the doctrine of discovery do not continue to be felt and Indigenous peoples thrive and are valued in the countries they live in. Before we declare the session closed, I would like to provide an opportunity for Miko Mikhail Valkiepa, Sami youth, and also for the youth and children of Guatemala to close with a prayer. Oh, okay. Well, I just made you younger than you are, but so we will proceed with Nico and then turn the floor over to the youth and children from Guatemala for a closing prayer, after which time we will adjourn.
La 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 Na pachilio rai gnocchi di la 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 Na la 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 la
Thank you to our Sami youth. Made him young again. I would like to call on our youth and children from Guatemala.
Sail to the hill and rescue us kids in the lonely cocal, really tenamis Guatemala, in Cavahario Duro Cacao Cal, in Chal Chinchere, el tenamis Guatemala. In Cachajun Sail to the hill, really Chishunili tenamis, liquanza la tenamis Guatemala. Lo que acabo de decir. Que les traemos un cordial saludo del país de Guatemala. Mi nombre es Harry Odulio Cacao Caal y hoy vamos a hacer una invocación a nuestros abuelos, a nuestros ancestros que han dejado huella dentro de la cultura maya, dentro de la cultura maya de sus distintos, desde sus distintos pueblos. Yo pertenezco al pueblo maya Quechí y el idioma que acabo de hablar es el idioma Quechí. Vamos a empezar la invocación maya al idioma español. Junto a los pueblos indígenas hermandados en este espacio con todos los pueblos del mundo, pedimos a la energía de hoy, que es el 10E, para que nos señale los caminos amplios y limpios de la vida. El camino rojo, nuestro deber ser. El camino negro, el reconocimiento y enmienda de nuestros desaciertos. El camino amarillo, el respeto incondicional por la vida. El camino blanco, la sabiduría heredada de nuestros ancestros, porque ellos nos indican la ruta para que los pueblos indígenas tracemos nuestras historias libremente y dibujemos nuevos senderos para el bienestar de la humanidad. Sincronicemos nuestro pensamiento y nuestras energías con las energías del universo para nuestras palabras y acciones respondan a las auténticas aspiraciones de nuestros pueblos. Invoquemos y saludemos a la energía de la vida de todos los seres que existen en el universo. Vitol Sakol, Alon Kajalon, Tepe Gukumats, Uspayakok Ishmukane, Ukushkar Ukush Uleu. Le suplicamos a Hashush Hajau, nuestra madre y padre, que con su energía de luz y de claridad iluminen nuestras ideas, que como la lluvia bañen a nuestros pueblos de dignidad y completo bienestar. Que despierten nuestros pensamientos, especialmente en la víspera del cierre de un gran ciclo de tiempo, en la víspera, en el calendario maya, el Oxlahu Bactún, el 13 Bactún. Que después de contar uno a uno más de 5,000 años de historia, hoy marca el principio de la transformación de nuestros modos de pensar y de vivir, más armónicos con los ciclos de la madre naturaleza.
Que nuestros pueblos y gobiernos caminen por el sendero del respeto hacia las múltiples formas de vida que existen en la madre tierra y el universo para la construcción del equilibrio entre todos los seres. Que todos podamos vernos a los ojos y reconocernos como seres humanos. Saludamos a la Madre Tierra, a las grandes y pequeñas plantas, a las grandes y pequeños árboles, a los grandes y pequeños animales, a los grandes y pequeños ríos, a los grandes y pequeños lagos, a las grandes y pequeñas montañas y a los grandes y pequeños valles, a esta tierra sagrada, porque vemos a nuestros ancestros que nos protegen en todo ello, en cada partícula del momento que nos rodea y que se nos ha querido arrancar sin misericordia ni respeto. Pero los pueblos indígenas estamos aquí, los mayas estamos aquí. Llevamos en nuestra espalda toda una historia de tragedia, toda una historia de ciencia y tecnología de más de 10,000 años. Toda una historia de luchas, guerras y resistencia. Hay mucho que hemos vivido. De esa Mesoamérica hemos construido más de 35 idiomas. Hemos recibido influencias y hemos dado influencia. Podremos estar divididos por liderazgos, pero siempre unidos por nuestra cosmovisión.
Saludamos a la energía del inframundo, a Juncamé y a Baucucamé, que nos permitan dirigirnos por el camino de la vida y no por el camino de la muerte, por el camino de la luz y no por el camino de la oscuridad, por el camino de nuestros aciertos y no por el camino de nuestros desaciertos, que en el cierre de Oxlahu Bactún los gobiernos de las naciones respeten la vida de la madre tierra, de las plantas, de los animales, del agua, del aire, de los minerales del ser humano, para evitar tanto dolor, tanta destrucción, que se aparte del destino de los humanos el egoísmo, el orgullo y la ambición, que destruyen y hacen caos de la existencia, que han desviado el agua dulce de nuestros ríos, que han nublado las estrellas de la noche con su contaminación, que han dinamitado nuestras montañas, que han amargado el agua que bebemos, que han envenenado nuestros alimentos, que han vendido cruelmente el destino de nuestros niños y niñas, que nos han derrotado del nido en donde viven nuestros ancestros. Que nuestra luz brille sobre la oscuridad. Sabemos que nuestros antepasados hoy nos acompañan. Están aquí, no nos han dejado solos. Por ellos estamos, por ellos vivimos. Porque cada uno de nosotros, nuestros muertos, sigue vibrando en nuestra sangre. Continuamos la vida que nos dejaron. Le suplicamos que, desde su poderosa energía, nos señalen la manera de caminar, la manera de sentir, la manera de perdonar. Nuestro espíritu es poderoso y nos prepara con la fuerza de las dos mares para un destino prometedor de cambio, para un futuro nuestro y un mundo no se acaba. Eso ocurrirá simplemente cuando el sol ya no quiere salir. Están aquí, lo sabemos, y les suplicamos que nos acompañen nuestras ideas, que los pueblos tengan larga vida, mucha paz y útil existencia, mientras camine el Padre Sol, dador de la vida.
Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias. Thank you very much. I now declare the 11th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues adjourned.